invite you to follow the order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin this morning's worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Beloved of God, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, we are sinful by nature and have sinned against You in our thoughts, words, and actions. But we are sorry for our sins and pray that You would be gracious and merciful unto us. Forgive us for Jesus' sake, renew us by Your Spirit, and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare Your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Responsive reading, a prophecy about Palm Sunday from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. That's on the top of page 3 in your bulletin. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem.
Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.
I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations.
His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth.
We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, You have sent Your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon Himself our flesh, and to suffer death upon the cross, that all mankind might be saved from their sins. Mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of His great humility and also be made partakers of His resurrection through faith in Him. We pray this through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading for this Palm Sunday is from Philippians chapter 2. We'll read verses 5 through 11. Paul reminds us that we see two things at play on Palm Sunday. We see Jesus being highly exalted, but we also see Him being very humble. And those two things are very important in Jesus' life. The humility He went through going to the cross for us, but also the exaltation He received when He returned to His Father's throne in heaven. We read then Paul's words from Philippians. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends our scripture reading. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 4. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 441. Children of our congregation to come forward for their children's sermon. Looks like she's bringing a visual aid for us for Palm Sunday. Yeah. It's close enough. We can envision that being a donkey, right? Good, good. Good morning. Today is a very special day. We're celebrating a day called Palm Sunday. You might realize that we walked in with some palms this morning and put them on the altar today. On that day of Palm Sunday, you see a picture of it here, the people were waving their palm branches, sort of how you were carrying them in today, and they were praising Jesus, and they were hailing him as a king. Do you see something kind of funny about that picture of Jesus, though? Do you see something kind of strange? What's he riding?
Donkey.
A donkey. Does it seem like a king should be riding a donkey? Probably not, no. No, in Jesus' day, when kings would come into a city to show how they were king, they wouldn't ride a donkey. You know what they usually rode?
Horses.
Horses, yeah. Usually a big, white, beautiful horse to show that they were powerful, that they were majestic. They were kings. Jesus rode on a donkey. Why did he do that, we might ask? When you look at this scene, you think, well, that's strange. Why is a grown man riding a little donkey? Jesus came to be a very different kind of king. Do you know why Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day? Was he coming to rule the country? Set up a throne? He wasn't, was he? Do you remember what he was coming to do, Reese? Yes, he's coming to die on the cross to take away our sins. Jesus is a very different type of king. He came into this city to conquer, but he was conquering through his death. That would take away all of our sins. The people on that day, on Palm Sunday, sang and shouted a very special word to Jesus. You might have heard it when we were walking in with the palms. Do you remember the word? Do you know, Reese?
Hosanna.
Yes, they were shouting and singing Hosanna to Jesus. You're going to hear that in some of our hymns today. We sang it in the hymn we walked up with the palms. We sang it at that time. It was a word that means save us, we pray. That's exactly what Jesus had come to do. He'd come to save us. It's also a word that was just used to praise the Lord, praise God. So today, during Palm Sunday, when we sing and when we pray to Jesus, we're going to say our hosannas. We can be like those people in Jerusalem when Jesus came in. Can you say Hosanna with me? Hosanna. We can say Hosannas and sing those to Jesus today on Palm Sunday and always. Thank you for coming up. Please rise. Grace to you and peace in the name of our triumphant Savior, King Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation on this Palm Sunday is taken from John chapter 12, John's account of the events of Palm Sunday. We'll read verses 12 through 19. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it. As it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason the people also met him, because they had heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. It was a few days before Palm Sunday, back in 2003, that an army made up of U.S. and coalition forces took the Iraqi capital city of Baghdad. Maybe you remember seeing some of that footage on TV. Our troops triumphantly entering this city, sitting on powerful tanks, waving American flags. People were standing on the sides of the streets, dancing and cheering as they toppled the statue of Saddam Hussein. This was a scene of a triumphant army liberating people from an oppressive dictator. The people were rejoicing. The coalition army had come to bring them freedom from their oppression. Well, the triumphant entry of the soldiers and tanks into Baghdad that day was a lot like our Savior's triumphal entry into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday. Well, sort of. Jesus did enter Jerusalem much like many of the conquering emperors and kings of his day. People would line the streets of the city. They would shout their praises when a king entered. They would roll out the red carpet, so to speak, for this king. They would lay down their clothes on the road, lay down palm branches, sing praises or shout praises to him. There is no doubt as you look at this scene on Palm Sunday that the people of Jerusalem exalted Jesus. They praise him as a king. However, we also very clearly see in this account of Palm Sunday that Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem was unlike any other entry into a city that a king or emperor had ever done. Think about the strange words of the hymn that we just sang before the sermon. Ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp. Lowly pomp? Kind of sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? It seems like a contradiction, but it is actually a perfect description of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Lowly pomp. Jesus didn't come riding on a massive tank like our U.S. Army soldiers. He didn't ride into the city with a powerful white steed and an army close behind him like the kings of his day did. Instead, Jesus came on a lowly donkey. Not just a donkey. Luke actually tells us he was riding on a colt, a young donkey, one that had never been ridden. So picture that scene. Picture Jesus, a grown man, riding into the city on a little donkey. Picture what it would look like if I was riding on a little donkey. Would it look a little bit awkward, a little strange? I'm guessing that maybe even my knees would be dragging across the ground. Entering the city on this little tiny baby donkey. You might wonder, what in the world is going on here? This isn't the most majestic image of a king who's being hailed and celebrated as some sort of conquering hero. And yet we do read that people lined the streets, treated him as royalty, laid down those palm branches, spread their clothes on the road, and said words and phrases like this: Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. What is going on here? So on one hand, you have this donkey and lowliness and humility. But on the other, you have people exalting Jesus, proclaiming him to be their king. What kind of king is this? What kind of king is Jesus? For the answer to that question, we need to look to that Old Testament prophecy that John quotes from, a prophecy that was fulfilled that very day in Jerusalem. Zechariah says, Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. Lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus did not come into Jerusalem as a warlord, bent on conquering lands and establishing some earthly kingdom. No, he came for a much greater purpose than that. He came to die. He came to bring salvation to all mankind through that very death he would die near Jerusalem. Now, he did come to conquer. He did come to establish a kingdom. But he came to conquer death. And he came to establish a spiritual kingdom where all of his believers would live for all eternity. A kingdom of eternal peace with God through the forgiveness of sins that his death would come to bring. So on Palm Sunday, we do praise Jesus as our king, but we remember he is more than a king. He is our Savior. The other question that might pop into our minds as we remember the events of Palm Sunday is, how did it all go so tragically wrong? Palm Sunday takes place 5 short days before Good Friday. How did we go from shouts of Hosanna, people praising Jesus, proclaiming him to be their king, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, to shouts of crucify him? Jesus was so popular on this day that even his enemies, the Pharisees, admitted, look, the whole world has gone after him. And yet 5 days later on Good Friday, Jesus is so deserted and abandoned that his closest followers, his disciples, left him. Well, for one thing, we don't know for sure if the same people, the exact same people who are gathered on Palm Sunday, were the exact same people who were gathered around the cross on Good Friday. We can guess that some people were at both events. However, it is interesting to note what John records for us as to one of the reasons people were there to see Jesus that day in Jerusalem. Listen again to verses 17 and 18 of our text. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. So these people either had witnessed Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, or they had heard from someone else that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Could it be that many of the people who had gathered in Jerusalem that day had come to see a miracle worker? They'd come because they were hoping to get a glimpse or maybe to touch or talk to this man who could heal their sicknesses, who could feed the hungry, raise the dead, maybe even overthrow that hated Roman government and reestablish for them a kingdom of Israel where they would reign, or at least be a part of this great earthly kingdom. Many of the Jews of Jesus' day were looking for that type of Messiah, that type of Savior. An earthly king who would restore that nation to its glory days under King David. So when Jesus lets himself be captured, begins to be humiliated, suffers, is whipped and beaten, and then crucified in that disgraceful, shameful way on the cross, perhaps many of these same people then were very disillusioned with who Jesus really was, with who the Messiah really was. And perhaps they turned their backs on him in unbelief for that reason. Before we cluck our tongues at these people and say, "Shame on you, how could you do such a thing?" let's ask ourselves, why am I here this morning? Why have I come to this Palm Sunday worship service to see Jesus, my King? Have we come to see a king who we expect to take care of all of our earthly desires as we see fit? Do we come seeking a Jesus who is only a miracle worker? Someone who we see predominantly as someone who can take care of our physical needs, someone who can take care of our material desires? Or have we come to worship and meet our humble yet exalted Savior King, who has come to take care of our greatest need, our spiritual need? Someone who has come to take away our sin. It's very easy for us to criticize the people of Jerusalem, to say, how could you turn on Jesus so quickly in less than a week? How could you do that? But haven't we found ourselves doing a similar thing many times? It's really easy on Palm Sunday to sing Hosanna. Easy to call out our praises to Jesus as our King and Savior and say, we will follow you. Easy to be joyful and rejoice in the Savior that we have when the weather is nice, when we're content, when we're happy, when we're surrounded by family and friends, or when we're here in worship with our fellow believers praising our Savior King. But how quickly we can turn on Jesus. How quickly do our hosannas turn into curses when Jesus does not take care of our problems or our sicknesses as quickly as we think he should, or in the exact way that we think he should? Or when we're lonely or depressed? How quickly we turn on Jesus when one minute we're singing our hosannas in church and the next minute we are arguing with our family members, or we're complaining about our lot in life, or thinking and speaking evil of that one person who just really doesn't like me and I really don't like them? We turn on Jesus when we commit these very sins that led him to that shameful cross. Praise Jesus, our humble Savior King, that he came to Jerusalem to take the nails of that cross for us. By his death, what he came to do in Jerusalem, by his death, he has forgiven us all our sins, even for all those times our hosannas have turned into complaints and curses. And by his resurrection, we are made victorious over death and we are assured of everlasting life in that kingdom he came to win for us, the kingdom of heaven. For all this, our Savior King Jesus deserves our hosannas. He deserves to be exalted. May the Holy Spirit move each one of us to do exactly that on Palm Sunday and always. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
You may be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Please rise. Are there any prayer requests this morning? Yes, I
do. Pray.
Okay. Pray for Don. Any other prayer requests? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord Jesus, our gracious and glorious King, you are also our great physician. We pray that you would touch Don with your healing hand. We ask you to give him the strength that he needs each day, and pray that if it be your will, you would give him complete healing. We ask you also to be with Ida, give her the strength that she needs to help him, give her wisdom to know what to do each day, and help them to trust you and to know that you're working all these things out for their spiritual and eternal good. We entrust ourselves, Lord, we entrust Don and all of us into your caring hands, both body and soul, knowing that you care for us more deeply than we can imagine. In your saving name we pray, amen. Dear Jesus, on that first Palm Sunday, you came in triumph to Jerusalem with people who were shouting their hosannas, with little children singing their praise to you. But you did not come as an earthly king to reign. You came as the Prince of Peace, to lay down your life on Calvary for the sins of the world. Through the sacrifice you made, God and sinners are now reconciled. Dear Savior and King, accept our humble thanks for giving the kingdom of heaven to us. O Lamb of God, you came to suffer and die. We ask you now to come as King into our hearts and reign there. Rule us with your grace, forgiving all our sins. With your love, change our lives so that we no longer serve sin, but only righteousness. Cleanse our hearts with the purifying fire of your word and the Holy Spirit. Cleanse us from sin and unbelief and doubt. Give us faith to trust you, courage to confess you, strength to bear our crosses, and zeal to follow you all the days of our lives. May we who serve you here in faith always behold you in your glory hereafter in the paradise of God in heaven. Until that day, dear Savior, direct our prayers through your intercession to the heavenly throne where they are heard, because in you the Father is well pleased. Hear us, O blessed Jesus, our Redeemer and King, as we pray now in your name the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 444. Continue on the top of page 6 in your bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Almighty and merciful God, we have again worshipped in your presence and received both forgiveness for our many sins and the assurance of your love in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this undeserved grace and ask you to keep us in faith until we inherit eternal salvation. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen. Amen.
Closing hymn is hymn 442. We'll sing verses 3 through 5. That hymn begins with the refrain.
I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all of you, especially our guests and visitors who are with us on this Palm Sunday. I invite you to sign our guest book in the entryway and welcome you to come and worship our Savior again soon. There are a number of announcements, and by a number I mean something like 2 pages of them, so please sit tight. There are a number of announcements to go through, and please pay close attention. This is a very busy Holy Week we have coming up this week. There is no school at St. Stephen's School this week. It resumes again on Tuesday the 18th. This Tuesday, we have our Board of Ed meeting at 6:30. We'll meet at Sean and Julie's. You notice also in the bulletin that the teacher we had called has returned our call. So one of our items for discussion in that meeting is going to be plans going forward to call another teacher. We appreciate your prayers both for our Board of Ed and then also our voters who will be making that call in a couple of weeks. Friday, Good Friday worship service will be here at 7 p.m. We'll be celebrating communion on Good Friday as well. There will also be a 1 p.m. worship service at St. Stephen East Bay in Hayward. But the one here in Mountain View will be at 7 p.m. Please join us for that. If you'd like to help with church decorating and set up for Easter, please be here Saturday at 10 a.m. And then our worship service for Easter Sunday will be a joint worship service between our two congregations, both East and West. And it will be a 10 a.m. service, followed by an Easter brunch at 11. There are sign-up sheets for the Easter brunch. If you have questions or you need more information, please do speak with Ida today. We are tentatively calling for the call meeting to be Sunday, April 23rd, after our worship service. Please plan on joining us for that. In your mailboxes, there is a financial report for the month of March, along with the CLC financial report for our church body. This encouragement probably does not need to even be said because this congregation is so good at this, but I will say it anyway to give you extra encouragement and a reminder. We often do have a lot of visitors on Easter Sunday. Be yourselves. Be the warm, welcoming, and friendly people you are to our visitors and to those who may not have attended for a while. That can go a long ways in encouraging them to come again and hear the message of salvation through their Savior Jesus, with prayers that they will join us in the future as well. We had a mission board meeting on Thursday, and we have decided to make Sunday, April 30th, sort of an inaugural, we called it like a mission society. We're going to try to come up with a better name, but we're going to have an organizational meeting for mission outreach after our service on April 30th, and we plan to also have a light lunch for those who would like to attend. We'll be discussing our plans for both in-reach, reaching out to our members here with the encouragement of the gospel, and also outreach, reaching out to our community and abroad with a gospel message. So please make plans to join us after the service on Sunday, April 30th. There's a thank you note from my parents when they visited a couple weeks ago. She sent me a thank you card with a picture on it. I don't usually remember to do that for my family members, but she is very good at that. She took a picture, pasted it to the front of the card, sent it to me. She took a picture and sent it to the congregation as well. It was like 10 days after they had been here. So please read it. They really, really did enjoy their time here and took some nice pictures as well. So it's on the bulletin board near the entry, the kitchen serving area. Any other announcements this morning? Yes, Ida.
For the Easter egg hunt after church, the children or for the children, if parents would or other people would like to bring a dozen to two dozen eggs for the hunt, filled, and at the box is on top of the refrigerator in the kitchen.
Thank you. No bringing empty plastic eggs to prank the children?
Okay.
Noted. Any other announcements today? Pastor Ryan.
I wonder, on this meeting, the 23rd call meeting, could the council broaden the scope of that meeting to include some updating on the status, the financial status of the congregation? And it has some relationship to calling somebody, whether we have the strength to do so or not. But just in general, I think it would be very helpful to get really how things are going for their resources
sure.
and our responsibilities.
Sure. We could have our treasurer, both of our school and our congregation report if they need to for that day. We could do that. Both treasurers heard that request. All right. Any other announcements this morning? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.